Okay. Right.
Hello.
Yeah, fuck off. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers and geeks alike, people who are murderers, people who are aliens, people who are symbiotic life forms, and people who are undead zombies. It's this week's Monkey Nut Punch podcast.
Yay!
Fucking gave him a visual cue to do it and everything, and he's desperately trying to screw me up. Anyway. Yeah. The person who's desperately trying to screw me up is Nigel. Say hello, Nigel.
Hello, Nigel.
So, this week is a good one. We haven't got Keith here.
That deserves a bigger cheer.
I'm going to piss him right off because I'm going to talk about Star Trek and he's not here to talk about it. So, we're talking about Star Trek. We're going to have a feature and we're going to call it The Alternatives. And me and Nigel are going to propose alternatives to other TV programs that you are currently watching, and you might want to check something out just so you can have something that's it's a bit different.
And if you're already watching them, well, congratulations.
Yeah, good on you. Then we've got some I've got a bit of movie news, and Nigel's got an and finally. So I want to talk about Star Trek Discovery.
Go on then.
I watch Star Trek Discovery.
I don't.
Alright, that's it. Brilliant.
That's the end.
No, I've ragged on Star Trek Discovery, and Keith went, "Oh, go and watch it." And he sent me like three fucking texts saying you should watch it. It's really cool. You'll like it. I need to hear your opinion on this.
Mm-hmm.
So I went, "All right, fair enough." So I watched it, and it was like, "Nah, this is quite good now. This is working. It's not the horrible mess of shite it was at the beginning of the season, and it's now turned into a more kind of established story." Now
it's midway through.
Yeah, it's just past midway through now.
Hmm.
So they had their mid-season break just before Christmas, and now they're back. And the reason I wanted to watch it is because one of the characters got murdered. Now, he said that, and my Google alerts on my phone, because I've got like a Google things, I saw the title go, Star Trek Discovery, shocking death, angers fans. Yeah. And then I saw one from the Gay Times saying death of a gay character, and I thought, shit, they've killed off Anthony Rapp's character, what was his name now, Stamets. Yeah, I like Stamets as a character because he's interesting. Yeah, he's the blonde one who plugged himself into the ship and gets a bit flirty with people, and okay. I kind of like that because it's like you can see he's coming from a place of anger in some places, and it kind of makes sense. Yeah, and
so he's actually got a personality.
Yeah, he's got a personality, which, you know, people criticise TV shows and bits for not having. Anyway, I thought they killed him off. I thought, shit, they killed him off. He's actually my favourite character in the entire show. And then it wasn't him. They killed off his love interest, the Doctor. I think his name's Colbert. Colbert, or something like that. Anyway, they killed him off, and they killed him off after he discovered that Ash Tyler, the security person they brought on board, isn't human because he can see where the bones and stuff have been reset, and he's had like bits lopped off of him so he can be a certain height, and the skull's changed, and his muscular's changed, and stuff like that. And they have this thing they call the Manchurian probe or something, and the idea of the Manchurian probe is it finds out to see if you've got like a hidden personality inside your head and you're spying on people, and he turns around and goes, it doesn't work if a whole new personality is pasted over the top of the original. Now Ash Tyler's been freaking out over Klingons throughout the series since he's been picked up, and the reason he's that is because he's the white Klingon.
Because they're not real Klingons?
They're not real fucking Klingons, no.
Is that why he's freaking out?
These aren't the real Klingons.
These aren't the real Klingons. I should have like big bulky hair and I should be like manly and not kind of these weird purple Ronnie creatures. Yeah, anyway, the Doctor finds out that, and then he unceremoniously snaps his neck really quickly. which I had a bit of a problem with, because I don't like people dying off really quickly like that. I like them to put up a bit of a fight. The best example is the Punisher, where the Punisher goes into the, I can't remember what the name, this guy's house. He's like the head of some private military company, and he has a fight with him, and the guy puts up a fucking tremendous fight, but the Punisher wins out. Mm-hmm. And then doesn't win out, because he then tricks him into tying him up and pointing an empty gun at him so he can get him to confess, which I thought was a brilliant way of doing it. And I always kind of hate that. So I can see why people were a bit pissed off the fact that he was kind of killed off in a shit fashion, as far as I was concerned.
So it's not the gay guy, it's the gay guy's other half that is apparently not himself.
No, it's the security guy. You got the two gay characters, yeah?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Stamets and Colbert. Yeah, Colbert's a doctor, Stamets is I'll call him the navigator because it's easier. And then you've got the security guy, Ash Tyler, who they picked up in a Klingon prison.
Right.
Yeah. Now,
and so Ash Tyler is the one with the personality defect.
Yes, he's the white Klingon from the very first episode. And he kills him off. And I was like, kind of, okay, it's not, I don't want to sound rude or anything, that shouldn't really fucking anger fans. If they killed off Anthony Rapp's character, the guy who knows how to fucking pilot the ship and stuff like that, that would have been more of a kind of a thing to kind of piss people off. But saying that, the Anthony Rapp character, Stamets, was in the room when he did it, but he was in like a weird coma. And I think that Stamets has, how can I call it, he's recalled this, yeah, and they're going to play on this, and he's going to catch up with Tyler when he's better, and he's going to put him in a situation, and he's going to kill him off and make it look like a fucking accident. And I think that will cause tension between him and Burnham, because she then suspects him, and then they'll be going back to and fro. But while all of this shit was happening, they were in a mirror universe, which is the kind of, remember the parallel universe joke that everyone has a mustache that they did in Star Trek and they did in South Park?
You did had
the no, evil Cartman who came across from a parallel universe in a mustache. And that was always the joke. And they've moved into that mustache parallel dimension, where the humans are just utter bastards and they're just like beating up aliens left, right and centre. And Michael Burnham was captain in that reality of the Shenzhou, and she kind of takes over that, and apparently Lorca betrayed her in that reality.
Mm-hmm.
And they've kind of locked him up in a little torture cabinet while her and Ash, the one who murdered Colbert, I don't know how he fucking got away with it so quickly. This is the thing that gets me, yeah? He kills him and then he goes off on this mission, yeah? And it's not like he didn't see him pick up the body or stuff it out of an airlock or feed it into the recycler. So if it would have been like kind of him like kind of like just open up the recycler and just tipping the guy in, we would have gone, okay, fair enough. And then they could go, where's he gone? I had an appointment. I'm supposed to look at my bunions. And something's come from that, but it was that.
Well, yeah. I'm sure they'll have that. I mean, after the killing, how many episodes were there?
After the killing? How many episodes have we got? We've got, this is the current episode, and I think we've got 5 left.
So they might look at it. Would they revisit that and show you
they'll revisit it. Something will happen. They can't,
because they've
not
got to, because they've got to start. Somebody somewhere, like you say, will go, where is he?
Yeah.
And then they'll start looking into security logs and blah, 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 you know.
Yeah.
And then they might see it, see what he's done to get rid of the body on the CCTV or I don't know.
Yeah. It's one of those things they're going to come back to. But
that's what I'd do anyway.
But the other half of this is three of them went off with the evil version of the Federation. And they locked Lorca in a torture cabinet, as I said earlier. And I think that's going to cause Lorca to go fucking insane. And they're going to have a reason to remove him or kill him off towards the end of the series, because I don't think Jason Isaacs is going to stay around to do Star Trek Discovery. I'm not even sure that they'll carry on with Star Trek Discovery and not just do another Star Trek show. But hey, I thought it was interesting.
Well, yeah, no, it sounds like it started to actually have some sort of character in the program.
Yeah, because the only
something
other
to actually watch.
The only other character was Tilly, who wanted to be captain, but was a bit kind of off.
What about Burnham? Is it Burnham?
No, I'm still not.
The one who apparently is really clever, but
they've dropped all this clever shit. They really have, and it's made the character work more when they've dropped this fucking pretense. They've just said it as this. They said, you are a criminal who got a second chance on our ship. And that's how they're playing it, and I think that's the way to keep it, because saying that, oh my God, Michael Burnham's the greatest person who ever lived. They've started a war, caused treason, kill people left, right and centre, and it's like, you fucking idiot.
Well, yeah, let's just push them to the side.
So, me and Nige have been talking about what we like to refer to as alternatives. And I kind of got the idea from a YouTube video that was suggested to me in regards to Black Mirror. And it was like kind of, an alternative to Black Mirror. And I watched the video and I was like, yep, completely agree. So Nige had a route around and he went, right, I've got a fucking alternative because I'm annoyed with... And this is where you step in.
The Walking Dead. People may or may not agree. It has become a little stale, a little bit predictable, and in some cases, well, infuriating with the way people behave because it's not in keeping with the character and they do it just to move the plot on. So, in light of that, I was looking at something else during this off-season or mid-season break, and it's called iZombie. It's on Netflix. So there are two... that's mine. What was yours? Or should we go into that after?
I was hoping you'd do iZombie and then I'd bring us back to where I started. I was trying to be clever. Okay. And you ruined
too
it,
clever
Nige.
For me.
Cheers, man.
Too clever for me. Right, so iZombie. It is what it says on the tin. It is about zombies. However, it is more in the vein of a film called Warm Bodies, where zombies... do get infected by a scratch or blood. However, in order to stay relatively human, they need to eat the brains of somebody. Now, it doesn't have to be fresh brains. It can be somebody who's been in the freezer for a long time. It could be a dead person. For example, well, it would be dead if it was like they just killed them, but not that fresh, if you know what I mean. So... what happens is this girl, she is a promising medical student and big things are ahead of her, blah, blah, blah. She goes to a party, gets scratched, turns into a zombie and hence into a recluse. She changes course in her career aspirations and she works in a morgue instead. Because what does that do? It gives her a ready, stable source of brains. And so when her boss is not around, she'll be, tucking in and putting a skull cap back on.
Right, hold on a second. Because you've watched, this is not technically new to you because you have watched this before. And there's something that you and your wife said about certain parts of the film that I found slightly disturbing. In a Gordon Ramsay way.
Yes. So it's every single time she is going to eat some brains, she doesn't just, lop a bit off and shove it in her mouth. She'll like turn into Gordon Ramsay and she'll do a different type of dish. So she'll make a curry or she'll make a shish kebab or pancakes or I don't know, but the thing is every time she's making this stuff she's in the morgue but they focus on the food and they're doing it like he's doing a dish. Right now I'm just going to add the cayenne pepper and a little sprinkle of salt, mix it all up and you've got something gorgeous, and it does actually look alright. However, you don't like that.
Yeah, because your wife turned around and went, oh, guys, every time I watch it and they do the bit where she eats his brain, makes me feel hungry. It's just one of those little comments that sticks in my bloody head every time anyone talks about it. I always think about you going, oh, yeah, I could do that. It's brains.
Yeah, you could just substitute that for, I don't know, prawns. But it's the way... And that gives you an idea that this program, although it's a zombie series, it doesn't take itself too seriously. It really doesn't. And what they do is, a zombie is identified by their pale skin. Really, really pale skin. Like, it goes almost as pale as me, Gav. But also their white hair. Their hair is like pure white. And so when they eat a brain, basically after a while, sometimes they'll have a vision of that person's brain. So being in the morgue, what happened is, and this is just first season, and by the way, there's three. A detective Babalo, he's actually a really good Clive. He's really, really good. He comes in. And he's saying, oh, you know, I've got a dead body. I've hit a dead end, etc., etc. And it just so happens that, well, she'd weighed the brain and made sure that it's normal and all that stuff. And she'd cooked it up because she was, well, hungry. And she has a vision. And when they have a vision, when a zombie has a vision, they sort of stare a bit. Vacant expression on their face for 5-10 seconds. And then they come back and they go, ooh, that was a bit weird. And then they also take on traits of the person who they've just eaten the brain of. So if they're a compulsive liar, the zombie will then take on the liar traits. Or if they're horny all the time, or if they're a massive gamer, that sort of thing. They'll take on those traits. And there was actually, if you're wondering, there was one where there was a person who was a games master, more D&D, but he died, etc., etc. And so she wasn't too keen on having his brain because, well, he just played Dungeons & Dragons and she doesn't like that. But in the end, she did, and they end up having a game of D&D with her close friend. By this point, they all know.
Just on another note, there's another guy who's later on in the series, he's also zombified too.
Mm-hmm.
And they have they've got a bit of brain of someone who's was clean freak. So every time they need to have, clean the house, they take a bit of the brain so they clean the house really well. And then there was another one who had a really rigid, disciplined mind. And they take that because that would be a way of balancing themselves off during hard times.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to remember because I the other half watches it on your recommendation.
Yeah,
and I've caught bits because I've usually been gaming while these things, while she's been watching these.
So basically that's it in a nutshell. And sometimes I think the actress who plays Liv Moore, who is the person who works in the mortician, the zombie, the actress is really, really good because she has to take on all these different traits in every episode. So she'll be she'll be an airhead, then she'll be a military person, then she'll be a gamer, then she'll be, so actually I think it's the best job in the world if you're an actress or an actor who likes playing different characters, because you get to when you're doing this. Anyway, by the by, her having her visions helps solve crimes by, she'll get a little snippet of what's happening in their life and who they might need to question and stuff like that. So eventually she starts moving around with Clive Babineau. And he starts calling her his assistant when he's interviewing people, stuff like that, to move cases on and stuff. So what you've also got is the dark, seedy world of iZombie, where... It's actually a character played by David Anders, who was in Heroes. He was Adam in Heroes.
For remembering.
Yeah! Yeah. Yep, and his name is Blaine. And basically what he does is, in the first episode, the first series actually, it kicks the whole thing off because he is basically taking street kids, people who have been kicked out of their homes and stuff like that, killing them, and then selling their brains to people who are currently zombies. These people are becoming zombies because Blaine himself are scratching them. So he's only scratching wealthy people because they've got a lot of money. And after scratching, he lets them turn into a zombie. Then he explains to them, you need brains to stay alive. I can give you brains. It will cost you. I can keep you in supply for X amount of every month for, I think it's £20,000 a month or something like that. So he's got himself a good little earner there. That's his business. And obviously, it's not a good business for people because people are investigating. They don't really take it too serious at first, but then they start noticing more and more street kids are going and disappearing and stuff like that. And nobody would believe it's like a zombie thing. But basically, Liv Moore, the mortician, she has a boyfriend. His name is Major Lillywhite.
Oh, this is the one thing I the telegraphing of names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many puns in this thing. There's so many puns. Oh God, I forgot. He in later series, he works for a company who is predominantly made up of zombies. So a militia, private militia, made up of zombies, and the militia's called Fillmore Graves.
After the woman who controls it called like Sharon Fillmore Graves.
Yeah, something like along that. Those lines. So yeah, it's puntastic. And so he doesn't know about Liv's affliction. He doesn't know she's changed. They were engaged to be married. She's got scratched. She ends up finishing off a relationship. Because she can't have sexual relations with him, because if she did, he would turn into a zombie.
That's the worst fucking STD ever.
It is.
That is the worst fucking STD. Sorry.
It's basically an STD. Yeah, because it is a virus. It's a virus, and she'd pass the virus on. So that's how they treated it. So if you have sex, I don't think they even kiss. They might kiss on the cheek or whatever, but you know, stuff like that. So he starts investigating, because basically the kids who are getting taken are from the place that he works, and he works at he's a social worker, and he works at a teen centre called Helton Shelter. So he starts investigating on his own time, because the police aren't bothered, these missing kids. And then he slowly unravels what's going on. He finds out what Blaine's doing, and then he starts, you know. And obviously, being a zombie, they've got extra strength, and especially when they get a bit angry. So
this is the thing, yeah, and I'm you know, I'm a pedant.
Nah.
She's not technically a zombie. She's what they refer to as a revenant.
Right.
A revenant is a creature that's come back from the dead, has all its faculties about it.
Right.
Looks a bit decayed. But has a purpose that it has to fulfill, and then when it fulfills it, then gets to like pass on.
Yeah, it also streaks a little bit of being a vampire.
Yeah, I was going to say I Revenant.
The Everlasting.
Say I Revenant doesn't sound as good as I Zombie.
Or I Vampire doesn't sound as good as I Zombie.
Yeah, well, in the comic book, she comes across vampires and stuff because her name's Gwendolyn in the comic book.
Oh, is it?
Because I just had a quick nose at it.
No, I didn't realise it was.
And whoever corrected that to say revenant or zombie, well done. Gold star.
Well done, you.
Okay, so
I've only touched on a little bit in the first series, so
I was going to say, do you want to sum it up how different it is from Walking Dead and
Waste?
As you
can tell, if you've ever watched The Walking Dead is always, always doom and gloom. always something shit about to happen. You don't know if somebody's going to die at any point. They might.
Sounds like being a Liverpool supporter.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Whereas this is lighter. The iZombie is lighter, a little bit more fun, especially with Ravi. Ravi is a brilliant, brilliant character. He is Liv Morgue's boss in the morgue. He's her boss. And he's a brilliant character. He's so down to earth. And some of the stuff he says, he's British. Some of the stuff he says is brilliant and funny. So he's a great character. So okay. It's much more light, much more jovial. But I only have one issue with this series. Well, not series, the program. Okay. And that is, the first season was great. There was 13 episodes of it, and it was pretty. Each episode was pretty good. It had its own story arc, but there was an overarching one as well. When you got to season 2, they decided in their ultimate wisdom to make 19 episodes, not 13. And I felt that what they've done is, because of that, they've dragged it out a little bit and it got a little bit stale. You know? And that is reflected in the viewing figures as well, because they dropped quite a bit. And people maybe are thinking the same with season 3, which is the current season, that they might make 19, and it is starting to get a little bit stale. But each episode, you know what you're going to get. It's going to be light, it's going to be fairly funny in parts, and it's definitely something to watch. So that concludes my alternative zombie program
to The Walking Dead.
To The Walking Dead, yeah. I think it's a good alternative. It's completely on the flip side of it.
Okay.
So,
All right. So, everybody raves on about Black Mirror. It's like kind of, oh, it's so amazing. It's so brilliant. And it's like every fucking article I see is great. I don't believe that's so. I believe that it's now treading old ground. The first season was great. The second season was okay. Third season was good. Fourth season a bit but there is an alternative to it, and I think the alternative is far fucking superior. You've got an anthology show that kind of has takes you on a little journey and gives you a nice twist at the end, so you can watch it. And the TV show I'm talking about is called Inside Number 9, written by Steve Pemberton and Rhys Shearsmith. I'd just like to point out, Rhys Shearsmith is the only celebrity to ever reply to one of my tweets. Genuinely is.
Hence why they're being mentioned.
Yeah, seriously. Only person ever to reply to one of my tweets, which I was quite chuffed with, because it's like kind of... I did the tweet and I put it out there and I thought no one's going to fucking reply to that. Went out for a cigarette, came back in. Oh, he's fucking replied. So I sent him a message back. It was in regards to a previous TV show called Psychoville, which was brilliant too. But Inside Number 9 is an anthology show, and it takes you through different stories each week, but they all happen inside a building or a room or an area named Number 9. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the series has got so many great episodes in it. It's quite hard to pin one down, but I'll pin down what was the saddest episode, and I think it may be the saddest episode I've ever watched on TV. And I'll warn you about this one, Nigel. If you start watching it, there's an episode called "The 12 Days of Christine," and what it is it starts off and there's this couple, and they get together, and you kind of see like a point in this woman's life, like every 7 months, of where she is and what's happening, and it kind of like moves on from like 7 months to like kind of so many years and stuff like that, and it kind of shows you through her life and everything. But some strange things are happening, yeah, like she becomes pregnant and that, and one day, she's like sitting there and she can hear the baby alarm go off and she can hear this strange man talking to her child. So she runs in there and there's this guy, he's in like kind of like an anorak. He's absolutely sodden. Yeah, you haven't seen him come in the house. He's picked the child up, yeah. And he's like, I've got you, everything's fine. And then she goes back and then turns back and everything's fine. And it's a bit weird. And then every so often she keeps hearing this like clicking noise in the background. She hears this click, click, click noise. She can't work out what it is. Anyway, she goes through her life. She meets up with a boyfriend. They have a child. He cheats on her. She leaves her. Her dad dies. And then it kind of goes through all these bits. A child grows up, goes to school, all these things. Yeah, and all happen over these 12 days. Anyway, it gets like Halloween. And everything is like slightly off. Yeah. And you can put your finger on it. And then it gets to the next one, which is Christmas Day. And she's sitting down at Christmas Day. And everybody's there. Her dad's there and everything's fine. Her old roommate's there and everything's fine like that. And you can hear the ticking kind of in and out of the background and whatnot. And they give her a Christmas present. Yeah? And she looks through a Christmas present. She's looking through this photo album. And she's like, all the best bits of her life. And she goes, oh my God. It's like my whole life is like flashing before my eyes. Yeah?
Yeah.
And then she goes, oh. And when I watched it, it gave me this weird... I actually done it now. Where it gives me the kind of like the blood's just drained from me. Yeah? And I wasn't expecting that to actually happen when I was describing it, but the blood actually drained from me. And she's like, oh, shit. And her mum like puts her hand on her shoulder and goes, it's time to go, like that. And it cuts to reality, yeah? And what happened is the guy in the anorak, who was absolutely sodden with water, yeah? He'd run out in front of her car. She skidded, crashed into another car, yeah? Yeah. He's pulled the kid clear of the car to make sure the kid's fine, hence the everything's fine, yeah? There was a bit in the episode where some eggs, like, smashed against the wall for no apparent reason. And right. They were, like, that was like a shopping on her back seat. And as she broke, it then hit against the mirror. The clicking noise was her indicator, because the indicator was going off, yeah? And it put all these bits into place, yeah? And when she just does the thing and she goes, oh, I've just realised I'm dead. And you're like, I feel really bad, and it's one of the saddest episodes on TV. But it's done so well. It's ridiculous. It's one of those ones. It's all done within pretty much one house. But it's just the way it takes you through the whole story. And even thinking about it, it's having an effect on me. Just not like I'm getting sad or anything. It's just, as I said, that blood running out the back of me and whatnot.
No, I'm just. Picturing it in my head, and I think I've got the same feeling when you mentioned that book. And you,
yeah, and it's the way she pulls it up and she goes, oh, and she's just smiling, and then you just see it just run through, just the thought, I've seen my whole life before my eyes, and that, yeah, and then that's one really, really good episode, yeah, but it's so sad, and I warn you about it beforehand because if you're feeling a bit down, it's not. Don't watch it. It's done that well. It will make you feel fucking bad. And another one's called The Riddle of the Sphinx. And it's... this girl breaks into a professor's... lodgings at this university. And he's in charge of doing the university's cryptic crossword.
Yeah. Okay.
And she says...
creating it.
Yeah, creating it.
Right.
So she's like, kind of, oh, I want to be able to beat my boyfriend at doing the cryptic crossword.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, fair enough. And the whole story kind of goes through. And he's explaining how the cryptic crossword works. And it's a brilliant explanation because I never figured out the cryptic crossword was like it was until I watched that. It was always one of those things I went, I should really find out. But there's something good on TV at the moment. But he explains how the cryptic crossword works. And then there's like these patterns that start appearing inside the crossword and it starts telling a story, yeah,
right.
So the first third is him explaining to her, and it's a lovely, like the first 10 minutes is sort of really lovely and whatnot, and then it gets onto like the second third where he finds out that her brother was in a competition that he screwed him over for and he committed suicide, so she's come to get revenge on him along with one of his colleagues. And it turns out that the colleague's in with it. And I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to ruin it because it's a really good one, actually. but it turns into three parts. The first part's her getting educated. The second part is her then drugging the guy, explaining to him what he's done wrong. And then the third part is that third person comes in who was helping her, and he screws them both over. And I don't want to ruin it. I actually want to watch it, but I can't find fucking anywhere to watch it now.
BBC.
I checked.
BBC.co.uk. Search for it.
I'm sure it wasn't on there. Oh, I recommend you watch it after we do this.
Because yeah, when I watched the first episode of this, and it was really good. It was. Yeah. I was confused afterwards though, because I thought, oh, where can I go from here in the second episode? And then you explained to me, actually, they're singular episodes, little story arcs that just span 30 minutes each.
Yeah.
And it was really, yeah, I was really pleased to see that.
It's there. I'm going to watch it after. It's good. I recommend you watch it after. That's a great thing. You can watch these out of order. You can just pick one. Yeah, I think I just heard the BBC squeak?
You did, because I clicked on the BBC link and it just immediately started playing a thing. I'm like, no, it shouldn't be that loud.
I recommend you watch the Riddle of the Sphinx. It's a really good one, because one, it tells you how fucking cryptic crosswords work, and it's just they structure these things absolutely brilliantly. Yeah, they're very clever in what they do. It can be something simple from like grandmother's birthday. Yeah. And it doesn't always end in murder. This is one thing you need to understand. Just something happens extraordinary in one kind of little area. And then, yeah, you've got Nana's birthday, and then you've got kind of like a karaoke thing happening, and it's like all these other things. It's like the first episode they came back with for the new series was called Zanzibar. And in that episode, it was all set on the ninth floor, in which you had a prince, his twin, long-lost twin brother, their father, his bodyguard who wanted to kill him, a prostitute.
Oh, I saw this.
A prostitute.
Yes.
Yeah?
I saw that on TV, and I didn't realise I was watching Inside Number 9.
See, the thing with it is that...
It was brilliant.
It was. They were talking, and it was done with a kind of a Shakespearean twist, because everything was done, they had it when the characters did like an inner monologue.
Yeah.
They were talking myalembic pentameter. And you had the bellhop
who was doing it. I just thought talking in rhyme.
But it was great. I thought it was really good, because it all just panned out, and it all felt like
We started watching, because there was nothing else on, and we started watching that, and we just don't know. We must have been on the BBC channel, and it was just started playing. We went, oh, do you know what? We'll just have a look and see, you know. And then the way it started panning out with the two brothers who didn't know each other existed, the twins.
Yeah.
And then the old bloke at the end of the corridor.
Yeah.
Kept telling everyone to shut the fuck up because he's trying to commit suicide.
Yeah, it's too fucking noisy.
You're too noisy, you know. Brilliant, brilliant episode. Yeah,
see,
yeah,
that's Inside Number 9. It's very... Some are hit and miss, I'll say that.
And I like the fact in that one, she, the lady, the porter, she tried helping the girl by hypnotising her, so she would see her fiancé and fall in love with him.
And then the wrong guy.
Because she was having her doubts. And then the first person she sees is some bloke who's looking for his mum, who's gone wandering off, who coincidentally has been given a grand.
What's the Shakespeare play? Is it Midnight Summer's Dream, where they've got the person who pretends to be the arse and whatnot? Because that's the one it kind of came across as for me. It was good, though. The thing is, you watched it and you was like, that's some pretty fucking clever TV.
Yeah, I did. And I think I forgot to... set a record up.
See,
but I'm gonna have to.
You're gonna have to. I'm sorry. This is the one thing. It is brilliant. What was the? There was.
There's six episodes per series.
Yeah, six episodes per series.
So currently, The one we were just talking about is available on the iPlayer. If you're listening in the UK, I don't think you'll be able to watch it in the US.
Yeah, because they're starting to get a bit funny with now, haven't they? You have to have a login and whatnot.
Yeah, I had to log in. I had to create a login and stuff to watch the episode that I wanted this morning. However, Zanzibar, the one we were just talking about, is available for another 19 days to watch. And there's one which I haven't seen yet, which is probably this week's one, available for 26.
Bernie Clifton's dressing room. That's a really sweet one, actually. It's two people who had a comedy duo, and they kind of settled the differences. That was done really well.
So, unfortunately, everything prior to that, so season one, two and three, all episodes, is on Last Chance, and if you're gonna watch them, you'd have to watch them before Monday at 12 p.m.
God, that means when I put the podcast out, if I put the podcast out right, gives them about 3 hours.
Gives you 3 hours. So over half an hour each episode.
That's a terrible recommendation because we're not doing it live. But yeah, give it a watch.
If you blitz it, you can watch six.
Yeah, it's just the thing with Inside Number 9. It is you do have to have a certain mindset for it, and the mindset is what are going to fucking pull. What are they going to pull now? That's the mindset you've got to have with it. What the hell are they going to do now for this? Because it can go from something simple to something kind of really good. Not that they're not good; they're all good. It's like they had one where they had a fight of a fucking bill. And oh no, I can't. No, I'm going to spoil it. I've spoiled too many. But watch it; it's better than Black Mirror, and it's easier to digest than Black Mirror. The first two series are on Netflix in the UK.
The first two series.
Yeah, they're on Netflix in the UK. I don't think they're disappearing anytime soon, unlike the BBC iPlayer ones.
Yeah, they can't leave them on there for too long on the BBC iPlayer.
And it's good. The other one was...
That's a good thing.
There was another really good one called Cold Comfort about... a suicide prevention hotline. That's a really fucking good one. It's called Cold Comfort.
It's Andy's first day as a volunteer in the Comfort Support Line call centre.
Yeah, you need to watch that because I think you might like that because it's to do with arsehole colleagues.
Yeah.
But yeah,
we know who those were.
Yes, we know who those were. But I think that Inside Number 9, it's far better than Black Mirror because it's like Black Mirror is like everyone talks about it and they've ponced it to the point that now it's not as good as its own hype, which is annoying because it should, it's good, but it's not as good as its own hype. So, sorry, Nigel, kind of went off on one there.
Huh? Totally fine. Definitely worth a watch. I think both of them are.
Yes, definitely. Okay, so movie news. The Venom movie, I'll explain in a moment because you'll go, what the fuck's that? Was revealed to a Brazilian crowd by Tom Hardy and their director. And I can't remember, I never wrote the director's name down on my notes. It just says director. Tom Hardy and the director, who could be anyone. They spoke to fans and they said, look, we're doing the Venom movie and we're going to make sure that it's going to be worthy for the people who are fans of the character. And we're basing it off of the Lethal Protector series and the Planet of the Symbiotes. Now...
Ruben Fleischer,
that's probably why, because I couldn't spell it.
Yeah, Fleischer, I think. Fleischer. But, best known as the director of Zombieland.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
There you go.
So, so he was directing it, and they kind of spoke to this Brazilian crowd and that, and they gave him away free T-shirts, which was nice. I was expecting to see something of, like, the Venom character... But all we got, really, was a picture of Tom Hardy with a notebook. And his hands on a notebook saying, this is Tom Hardy playing Eddie Brock. And it's like, okay, fair enough. That's all we're going to get. Hope it's fucking good. Now, you don't know who Venom is, do you?
He's the... bad Spider-Man, isn't he?
Yeah, that's the best way, easiest way of putting it. He's the bad Spider-Man. There was
it's like a goop or something that goes onto the Spider-Man suit.
It's an alien symbiote that bonds with you.
Right. Yeah, yes.
And it can like kind of it can protect you from bullets and stuff like that. It kind of
wasn't there a Tobey Maguire one with Venom?
Yes, and it was shit. And we never speak of that one ever.
That was the only time we have.
Yeah.
And never to be mentioned again.
That's not mentioned again.
So this other movie.
Yes, this other Venom movie. Hopefully it'll be good. They're saying the right things. They're saying this is the comic books that we're basing off of.
Mm-hmm.
So what you can expect is going to be around about these comic books. Yeah. So don't think we're going to be doing this story or that story or this, that, and the other. This is where we're going with it, which is a good thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they said that they want to stay true to it too, which is another good thing, because you get things like kind of the Ghostbusters reboot was turned to pile of shite.
Yeah.
Return of the Jedi. Don't start talking about it.
No,
where they don't kind of respect, you know, the source material.
We've always said that. When you're going to do a movie about something, and there is already a something about this something, then you must respect the source material. Because there's a reason why there's fans around this thing that you're going to make a movie about. And it's because they like the source material.
Yeah.
So if you fuck with that source material, then they're not going to like it. If you want people to like it, they want people to like your film or your series or whatever. Respect the source material.
Yeah.
And then the fans should follow.
Yeah.
So that's simple.
There was a thing going around back to the Venom movie. There was a thing going around about actors that would play a character called Cletus Cassidy, known as Carnage. Yeah, which is another one of the symbiotes. The Venom symbiote bonded with a reporter that was working against, in competition with Peter Parker in the Spider-Man story, a guy called Eddie Brock, yeah?
Right.
And further on, the symbiote then kind of breaks it off and forms another symbiote, which then bonds with a serial killer called Cletus Cassidy, who's on death row.
I've heard of that name.
Cletus Cassidy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because he's Carnage. And there were floating actors around that could play it. Now, I'm thinking the reason there were floating actors around that could play it is he's going to be the big baddie at the end, and they're going to hold on to that secret for as long as they fucking can. And I'm hoping that's the case, because if that's the case, the two characters, two Spider-Man villains or anti-hero in one case, that I've desperately wanted to see on screen.
I always thought that Venom was a baddie.
He hates Spider-Man. That's the problem with him. He hates Spider-Man. It's not...
So is that it? That's just it. That's the reason why in the Spider-Man movie he was like against Spider-Man.
It's not quite as simple as they put across in that Spider-Man movie, but the easiest way to boil it down is that he's not a bad guy. He's like the Punisher anti-hero sort of thing.
Right. I haven't seen the Punisher.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm a bit behind again.
All right.
Keith, if you're listening, yes, I know. Yeah. I know, I'm behind.
But, he's an anti-hero kind of character. So he uses excessive forces and he breaks people's bones and stuff like that, rather than just web them up and leave them to the coppers.
Yeah, oh, I get you. Yeah. A bit like how Arrow started off in the series.
Yes.
Murdering people rather than just maiming them.
Yeah, kind of like that. Shall you do our end finally story?
Yeah. Absolutely. So, our and finally is, and I put insert drum roll here.
Oh, now I've got to put a fucking drum roll in. Hang on, let me pop a marker in at least.
So, it is all about the Duke. Now, what is the Duke? You may
it's
know
a giant
if you
dildo.
Are. It is a giant
with the face of John Wayne on it.
Get off your horse and drink your milk. Anyway, it is the original Microsoft, this gaming news, Microsoft original Xbox controller. So the original Xbox, if you picture that big bulky controller that they had, it's having a bit of a reboot. And it just so happens that it looks like they've got a working prototype going on, and it's going to be released very soon. Very similar in size and style, and it will work with your Xbox One and your PC. It comes with a USB cable as well. So what they have done is they've got rid of, you know, that it had a memory pack, a memory place on the back of your controller.
I think it had like two memory slots on it, which I thought was like a bit fucking excessive at the time.
One above the other, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, what's the fucking point in that? It's like, well, you can copy the bits across.
I don't know why you need that much, but yeah, it's gone. That's gone, obviously. Move that. And then what they've done is they've added a couple of bumper triggers at the top. Pretty sleek ones. Smallish, but, you know, they are trigger buttons. So you can use your Xbox games as you normally would.
But with a giant-ass controller.
Yeah, and so where you've got that big circle, you remember the big circle in the middle?
Yeah, I wish I could put my dinner on.
Yeah, it was quite large, because the rest of the controller is quite large. I can only imagine that it's got a lot of empty space inside, but, you know, being true to the controller. It's actually LED and stuff, so you can push it and it says stuff. But the thing is, the guy who originally made the original Xbox controller sort of touted the idea of making a current gen old style controller, and everyone was like, yeah, retweeted it like 2,000 times or whatever on Twitter. He took that as a huge support, and then Microsoft then gave it its backing. So Microsoft has backed this, and it will be released, I think it's March. If you do like the old controller, if you did like it, and it's not that bad.
On the bright side, you're not going to lose it.
You won't lose it.
That's not going under the sofa. You can use it on your PC. That's not going under the sofa or down the cushions because it's that fucking big. It's like, oh, what's this fucking thing I'm sitting on? It's a giant controller. And on that note,
well, just to let you know.
Oh, okay, all right. Oh, is this going to come on, let you.
Yeah, price point $70. All right?
Yeah.
Or £50. Or if you've got anyone in Australia, 90. 90 US, Australia dollars. Anyway, on that bombshell.
God, I'm tired. Yes. Anyway, yeah, on that kind of semi bombshell. It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And we'll see you in the next podcast.
Goodbye.
Downloading the Monkey Nut Punch podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Monkey Nut Punch. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Monkey Nut Punch.